People don't care what you say. I've stolen yours, haven't I?
That's okay.
People don't care what you say. They care what you publish. So essentially, what you can say anything to anyone on a Zoom call, on a phone call, in an email privately. But it's only trustworthy when it's public content out there that everyone can see.
The smartest marketers from all walks of life, in every industry, talking about the latest trends, opportunities, and challenges. Insights from marketing executives at organizations like National Geographic, IBM, and the Baltimore Ravens. And tips from business authors and experts known around the world. Ways to improve your community's marketing, starting now, right here on the Marketing Smarts Podcast.
Well, Marketing Smarts listeners, I actually want to start with a question today. Can marketers create content that sells? Now, I know that some of you say yes immediately. Some of you might be saying maybe. Some of you might be saying, we're marketers, not salespeople. We don't do sales content. Oh my gosh, I'm super excited today because I get to speak to not one, but two humans who believe that B2B marketers can create content that sells. Martin and Lindsay Huntbach. And let me just tell you, we talk about content creation, what keeps them up at night, especially with content that sells from marketers. We talk about hurdles. We talk about success. Yes, the nirvana of actually creating content that sells, driving revenue, measuring so much good stuff in this podcast episode. But before we get into the good stuff, let's go ahead and hear a word from our sponsor. Are you looking for great curated content specific to you, the B2B marketer? Want to have fun while also learning valuable information to help you succeed on a daily basis? Then you're in luck. Look no further. This week's Marketing Smarts podcast is brought to you by the Marketing Smarts Live Show. That's right. You can join us live every Monday where we shine the spotlight on you, the community members, share fresh B2B news, several top-notch curated articles to help you be a better marketer, and of course, have tons of fun along the way. If you want even more B2B marketing education with the ability to ask questions and engage with the rest of the audience, tune in every Monday at 10 a.m. Eastern for the Marketing Smarts Live Show. You won't regret the additional B2B learning you'll be adding to your life. Now, let's get back to this episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast. All right, well, now that that's out of the way, Martin and Lindsay Huntbach run Jammy Digital, an award-winning SEO and content marketing agency for businesses that aren't afraid to stand out. They do their best work with personal brands, helping them find and retain better, higher-paying clients who don't gobble up their time like Pac-Man. They've also published a best-selling book, Content Fortress, that protects business owners from unnecessary stress by helping them attract their dream clients. Woo, buckle up, Marketing Smarts listeners. Let's get into the good stuff. All right, Marketing Smarts listeners, I am super excited because, man, do you get a treat. Not only is it my brain and another person's brain, but yet there's another person's brain. That's right. We have a podcast episode today where three people are going to bring you value to help you be a better B2B marketer. More specifically, we are going to be looking at content that sells, and we are talking with Martin and Lindsay, and I'm super excited. So let's go ahead and get where I usually start. Everybody knows I like to start this. And you know what? I bet Martin and Lindsay, you guys have two totally different things that might keep you up at night. But the question is, what keeps you up at night around marketers, content creation, and the topic of creating content that sells?
Great question. What keeps us up at night is the fact that so many business owners and entrepreneurs are not aware that content can allow you to attract your dream clients and help you repel the clients who you really don't want to work with. Yet lots of people don't know that, and that keeps us up at night, and that's why we do what we do and why we talk about what we talk about.
Yeah, it's the same, but also slightly different in the sense that I think a lot of business owners as well don't see content as something that can help them sell. They see it as providing value, maybe getting search engine rankings, getting more traffic to their website and all those kind of things. They look at the those kind of statistics, but they don't actually see content as something that can lead to direct sales for their business. They see that as something else. And content can definitely do that, but not enough businesses are doing it.
Now, it's interesting. I love all of what was said, but I do want to pick something out, Martin, that you said, and I am immediately going to go off the beaten path, believe it or not. is because when we talk about content that sells, I think everybody, just their mind goes to bringing it in. And Martin, you actually used the word repel in the answer to what keeps you up at night and repelling the wrong customers. So if we're talking about content that sells, but we're also talking about repelling, like, tell me why that's important, right? Because I know there's reasons. I just want to know what your reasons are.
So we love and always have loved content and using it to drive traffic and leads and inquiries. And we did that. We followed all of the books and we produced some epic content and we got lots and lots of inquiries. It was only partway through when we started to deal with all those inquiries and start to see that there are certain clients that are our ideal clients and definitely quite a lot of people that weren't. So we decided to flip the switch on content and decide to really, really push it to its limits and say, if we create content that repels people we don't want to work with for a variety of reasons, then surely that would work. You know, if we start putting messaging out there and start including things within our content and start creating content specifically to repel people who are not right for us, then surely that's going to allow us to only appeal to our ideal clients. And funnily enough, that's exactly what happened. You know, when we really started to push the boundaries and started to articulate who we definitely weren't the right fit for, it just transformed our business and our lives. You know, when you'd have to deal with a lot of clients and a lot of new inquiries because people are excited to want to work with you because you're an expert, you also have to think on the back end about how you can protect your time and your mental health. And we just found that a lot of other people have the same problem too.
Yeah, I love this idea of being able to streamline kind of the people that you can talk to, because when you do become an expert, which, by the way, B2B marketers, if you're not focused on becoming an expert at your craft, that's a tip that you can take out of this show right here, is becoming an expert. We've talked to Mike Alton, actually, about becoming like a micro influencer. And so that's something that you might want to check out that episode. But let's talk deeper about content that sells. And when we say, because I always like to level the playing field for the listeners, when we say creating content that sells, what the heck do we even mean? In other words, how do you define creating content that sells to the listeners?
So it's typically content that is only about your products or services. And that sounds very scary on the face of it, because we're constantly told that you shouldn't be talking about yourself. You should be delivering only value to your customers. But there's kind of a problem with that phrase, you shouldn't be talking about yourself, because that's actually not what your customers are interested in. Your customers are interested in you. They're just not interested in the things like what award you've just won or your new office plant or whatever it might be. But they are interested in your products and services and learning whether those products and services are right for them. So if you start answering these questions in your content, that's what can help you lead to more sales.
Yeah, it's about going deeper on the things that you know people want. You know, you'll know full well, you know, Marcus Sheridan talks about the 80% video in his content, and you produce content to answer the questions that people ask before they buy from you. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about thinking about those questions, producing content that really helps people understand that when they eventually do speak to you, they don't have as many questions anymore because your content has helped educate them. And the fact that you can use content, and I'm talking about blog content, I'm talking about video content, I'm talking about social media content. If you combine those mediums with answering customer questions, and I'm not just saying broad questions for awareness building, I'm talking about specifics. You know, one of the examples of content that we always create for our clients and for ourselves is when we launch a new service, we write an article that says everything you need to know about our brand new content writing service or our new course or our new, well, no, whatever it is. And it comes from a very helpful place. It doesn't come from a buy our new product. You know, people think sales and it's scary because everybody thinks they're just broadcasting and they've got a big online billboard and it's buy my stuff. But in reality, it's just about, you know, we've had quite a few questions about this. We just decided to put an article together, or we decided to put an Instagram carousel together to, you know, break down the individual things that are included. If you want it, buy it. If you don't, that's fine too. But it's just about being honest and transparent.
I'm a big fan of being honest and transparent. And it's funny because immediately when Lindsay was like, talk about your products and services, I was a little bit like, oh God, like what? But because I know that so many people, when we talk about creating content that sells and they hear that word sell, and then they hear somebody say, you know, talk about your product and service, man, they go for the jugular. And that's not what we're talking about today. And so I want to dive into my next question, and that's so that B2B marketers can really start to think about this in the way that it should be thought of versus maybe what is historically coming along for the ride, or maybe even being pushed through or with some sales teams that we're trying to align with. And it's this simple. What are some key elements to creating content that sells that B2B marketers should be paying attention to when they're writing this text or creating these videos or creating audio podcast or type content? What are those elements that should be in there that keep us in good boundaries, I'll say?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think one of the main things to be aware of is essentially anything that anyone asks you on a sales call should be answered in content, even if that is quite uncomfortable sometimes for you to answer publicly. It should be answered publicly. So we kind of refer to this as kind of objection-led content. So any objections you might get on a sales call, for example, why are you more expensive than your competitor? Answer that in a piece of content. And what you're doing when you create that piece of content that answers that question is you're actually highlighting all the amazing things about your product and service. You're getting someone to read that or listen to that or watch that, and they're understanding more and trusting you more and are more likely to buy from you when you create that content. So really taking everything that you're asked on sales calls, anything that anyone asks about your products and services, that should be content, even if it does make you a little bit uncomfortable. And that's a really good example. And it's something that we create for ourselves and for our clients. You know, why are we more expensive than, you know, someone else or other people in our industry? And that's, you know, a really, really good example, I think.
Yeah, and I think the problem that we find is that people don't talk about their products and services even remotely in their content sometimes. And they go completely the opposite way, which is they just provide value. The 10 best ways to do this thing, the 5 great tools to implement in your business. And if we don't link it back to our business, you know, you've got to ask at some point, you've got to explain what it is that you do. I mean, how many times do you land on a website and they don't articulate it clearly enough because they're trying to be too clever with the copy, and they've got nice images and they've got a great about page and it looks good and they're providing lots of helpful advice on the blog. But oh, by the way, how can we give you money? Because I'm not on the website here for the goodness of my health. I do actually have a problem I need to fix. And we forget that sometimes. And we refer to this sometimes as the mousy moment. So imagine that you've just put together an epic blog post and it's fantastic. It's 4,000 words and it's incredibly valuable.
The ultimate guide.
The ultimate guide. Or like a 25-minute video or a big 3-hour Joe Rogan episode. But at the very, very end, you think, I should probably sell it. And they think about it in such as an afterthought that it just seems, you know,
they kind of
out of place, isn't it?
They scurry out like a mouse and go, oh, if you like this, then check out my services.
Exactly.
And then they scurry back in again.
Yeah,
that's like, about it. And that's why we
But this was value. It was value. It was all value. And I think sometimes if you can just be a little bit more honest about it, which is why, you know, an article like, oh, here are all the ways you can work with us. We just decided to put it in a blog post so that you can you find out if you do want to work with us in the future, or, you know, everything you need to know about our services.
Yeah.
You know, we can just be clear and honest about it, can't you?
Yeah. We find it an absolute travesty when there's so many people I love on LinkedIn and I follow because their content is amazing. And then Martin will say, what do they do? And I'm like, I don't know. I actually don't know because they've never talked about it. So I don't actually know specifically what it is they do. They just produce amazing content. And it's just about occasionally producing content that lets people know what it is that you do.
It's interesting. I try to put myself in the brains of the B2B marketers, the marketing smarts listeners. And I'm like thinking, oh man, I've got a really dope website, but people don't know what we do. Like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. And it's interesting because you know, I feel like there's a couple of things that we're bumping up against that might help the marketing smarts listeners. One, getting really good, especially in things like podcast videos, to do a subtle sell along the way, right? And be able to talk about what it is that you do, but in a way that is also story kind of weaved in and out, and like using, you know, people along the way as like reviews, testimonials, case studies, things like that. And like, if that might be a tool, a tip, a trick, a hack, which, by the way, I'm getting to that question for you guys in a few minutes here too. But also, you earlier mentioned Marcus Sheridan, and that's another episode. We actually just recorded an episode with Marcus, and we talked about the Big Five. They ask, you answer. We talked about content and building trust. And one of the words that kept coming to the front of my brain when the both of you were talking was the content has to be unbiased, right? You can't go, why should you work with me? Because I'm the greatest of all time. Like, nobody wants to hear that. They want an unbiased, you know, piece of content that helps them understand if they should work with you or not. So with that, I actually want to go ahead and move into, when you're thinking about creating this content that sells, are there any tips, tricks, templates, matrix? I could throw a whole bunch of other words at this that B2B marketers can use when focusing on creating this type of content that is based to sell their products and services.
Yeah, I think, well, we wrote a book on it, and it's one of the five pillars. So we can definitely, you know, give you listeners a free copy of that. That's no problem. We have an entire pillar about sales content, so it is a good a matrix, I suppose, and we give examples of articles that you can create. But essentially, it's very, think about all of the bottom of the funnel. What are the final questions that people ask before they sign up to work with you? And this is really, really interesting, because if you use the language that you would use on a sales call, and you say, these are the options, and you're just ultimately transparent and unbiased, is a really interesting word, because it's ultimately it's key. It is the word that binds all of this together, which is, you know, if you want to work with us, you can, and here's exactly how to do it when you're ready. Like, that kind of mentality is how we communicate what it is within our businesses that we want to promote, and also what's changing as well. You know, the key to this is about, as an example, when we create a piece of content to, we increase our prices regularly, like most businesses do. One of the articles and one of the things that we talk about is, by the way, our prices are going up soon. Now, this is an example of being unbiased and why your prices are going up, what's changing, what's included. You know, all of the time businesses increase their prices, but they do it silently. They do it like they're, you know, stealthing their price increase, and they hide behind the fact that, oh, by the way, you know, existing customers get the same price, but new customers will have to pay a new price, and they don't communicate it, because nobody should communicate the price going up. We love communicating that our prices are going up, because it does two things. It means that we are being empathetic, you know, to price, because price is a huge issue in the world right now. Lots of prices are going up and lots of people aren't communicating it effectively. But if you remember that we will need to remain empathetic and also unbiased. And I think if you think about those two words as being your guide when creating this kind of content, and if you just keep those two words in mind, empathy and unbiased, I think you can create whatever content you want, and you can talk about your products and services. And we're not saying do this for every single blog post or every single video, but that's probably what I would put down as a sort of the North Star, those two phrases. And then you can clearly articulate your products and services in a way that never feels like you're selling. You never have to worry about adding a little mousy moment at the end of a blog post, because from start to finish, you've considered the person reading this content.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's a really good example. Whenever you make a change in your business, like, for example, you're raising your prices, talk about why that might be, you know, and we've seen countless people do this kind of article where it's, why am I raising my prices, and actually exploring why that might be. And what you're doing is, yes, it's very unbiased, but you're actually just talking about your product or service, and it gets people that maybe were on the fence about working with you to becoming customers, and it really does increase the sales cycle. It's a really, really good one to do. Just answering any many why questions. So why do you do this way? So for example, when we did a lot of website design, we couldn't design a website in 2 or 3 weeks. We took about 2 months. So answering that question, why do we take 2 months to design your website? Or why do you do this? Answering all those questions in a piece of content. And actually what it does is it explains your unique process. It explains what your business is all about and why people should choose you. That's all it does. And it's really, really good at highlighting that. A blog post we did recently, which did really well, it's probably got the most clicks we've ever had, actually, that we've sent out as a blog post, is how are we using AI in our agency? Because people want to know, are we going to hire you and are you just going to put things in ChatGPT and give me what it spits out? You know, people are asking those questions. They're worried about those things. So we answered that question very honestly about how we are and aren't using AI in our agency, because we are and aren't. So we answered that and actually got a client off the back of it, because we were just upfront and honest about the inner workings of our business. And that's essentially all it is.
I love that. Empathetic, transparent, honest, unbiased. Like, those are just, in other words, be a good human. Be a good B2B marketing human as you move forward. So I'd be remiss. You mentioned a book that you have. So what's the name of the book? How can the Marketing Smarts listeners get the book? Give us the details on that.
Yeah, it's called Content Fortress, and it's our... And Marcus actually wrote the foreword, so we were very lucky to have Marcus and honoured to have Marcus write that foreword for us. It's essentially, at contentfortress.com. You can pick up a copy. But it's, imagine that it is further down, you know, the buying cycle. Marcus is there, Ask You Answer teaches how to get more traffic, leads and sales. And then after that is what our book's about. How can you keep the process? How can you keep clients and, you know, keep them on the right path and make sure that you're attracting the really perfect clients that you really want and hopefully repelling the clients that are not the right fit for you? So it just goes and into a little bit more detail about how you can do that.
Love it. Marketing Smarts, if that sounds like something you need, then head over there. We'll make sure to put a link in the show notes for sure. So I want to ask if there's a common myth, a misconception, if you will. And I love the show, by the way, Mythbusters. That's why I decided to throw this bad boy in here. And what is a common myth about this process or leveraging or using content that sells that you would want to just put a stake in the ground and be like, we're going to debunk that right now? What's that myth for us?
I think that it's about selling, which I know, obviously, it's content that sells. So you so automatically you'll probably think, oh, it's about selling. But actually, it's not about selling. It's about giving someone everything they need to know to make the best decision for them and making sure that you only attract the right people to you. So it's not about selling anyone to anything to everyone. It's not about making a quick buck. And it, like you said, it's about being a good human and giving someone really all the education they need to make a good buying decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would slightly add that people don't want to be sold to is something that we always hear. Mm. But I know that I would love it sometimes if people just told me more about how I can give them money, because I like giving people money. It makes me happy. I don't know why.
Just solving problems.
I like to spend money. A lot of people do. But it also does save me time. Usually when I hand over some money and I hire a service or an expert, it makes my life better. And that's what we're all trying to do in our businesses. We're trying to make other people's lives easier, trying to improve it. We're trying to save them time or money. And people want that to be a thing. They want to save time and money and get great service. So why would we not articulate it in a clear, honest and transparent way? It's not selling. And I think people hate hard sales tactics. Obviously, who wants to be, you know, attacked in a sales environment? But what we're talking about is just talking about the things that you do to help the people you want to help.
I love it when someone approaches me and they're selling something that really solves my problem and I know they've delivered tons of value. I'm like, great, perfect. And that's essentially all it's about.
Tactical sessions, inspirational keynotes, off-the-clock antics. And let's not forget about immeasurable connections. What am I talking about? The B2B Forum, of course. For more than 15 years, the B2B Forum has been the conference where today's leading B2B marketers gather for insights, networking, and laughs. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's never too early to plan for success. Join us in 2023 in October for inspiration from B2B marketing experts. And I mean those marketers who walk the walk and know how to talk the talk in a way that you can understand. Get access to real-world actionable insights on the tactics and tools that work today and strategies that stand the test of time. When you say, well, on October 4th, you can join us for the B2B Forum full-day workshop for all access attendees. And on the 5th and 6th, well, spectacular conference shenanigans. That's right. If you head over to the B2B Forum website right now, you can sign up to join us October 4th through the 6th for some amazing education. And guess what? I'll see you next year at the B2B Forum. That's right. I'll be there. Will you? Yeah, where's that line to sign on? Let's do it. There's a couple things I want to unpack from that section. I love this idea of like all sales isn't hard sales, but or you know, like, and people go in the direction of like, that's always, but like being able to sell almost like from a servant, a place of servanthood, and you're trying to do what's right for them. And I think Lindsay hit the nail on the head when she said, best decision for them. Not selling out of what's the best thing for my wallet or my pocketbook or my purse, right? But what's the, just landing always on what's the best decision for them. So, A, marketing smarts listeners, the B2B marketers are like, okay, shoot, let's give this a try. How the heck do we get started in transitioning the way that we've been creating content for the last, I don't know, year, 5 years, 10 years, and actually get started with creating some content that sells?
So the first thing you need to do is what we call escape SEO no man's land, which is let's create content for SEO reasons. Let's create lots and lots and lots of helpful content and create it in the hopes that Google's going to reward us from it. If Google closed down tomorrow and you weren't able to create content that ranked on the first page of Google, how would we make sales? And the thing to remember is that when you create content, and we're talking all about sales content, so it might feel that the content we create is 100% this kind of content, and it's not. It's very marginal. You know, you might be talking 1 in 10 pieces of content would relate to what we're talking about, but that 1 in 10 makes all the difference. It really, really does. If you create 10 super valuable articles that don't directly lead to your products and services, but you create one that does, if you do it right, I'm talking about a promotion strategy. I'm talking about getting your email list involved, or by the way, check this out. I'm talking about repurposing it. You know, you can create a whole lot of content around that sole piece of content. So I don't want anybody to think that they have to completely change their content, you know, calendar and strategy and processes. It's just about adding a drip of that kind of content.
Yeah, just a little nudge.
Huge, huge difference to revenue. Yeah. It literally transformed our business when we did this.
Yeah.
And we've not looked back since. And we try to write one of these articles every month or two, you know, just to explain more about what we do when we get questions and as and when they come.
Yeah.
So yes, it's just a very simple strategy that doesn't require you to completely throw out the rule book and start with a blank canvas. It's just about dripping some of this content in and communicating it with your audience. That's key. We're not just hoping that Google sends us traffic. We're creating this content and then pulling people in to consume it and getting those people over the finish line.
Yeah. And a good place to start is whenever you make any change to your product or service, anything different, you add something, you raise your prices, you start using AI, whatever it might be, just create content around it. Even if you start with something as simple on social media, and I bet you'll be really surprised at how many people engage with that content, especially if they're already getting content from you that's full of value. They love that. And then they're like, okay, they're raising their prices. What's that about? I want to know more. And this content really does very well. To you, it might seem like, well, why would anyone be interested in this? But they really, really are. And it's what will lead to sales. But as Martin said, just keep it light. It's like a seasoning rather than the main meal. It's not something that you should be doing every week, because obviously that is going to get very annoying.
Yeah, I love, there's so much going around in my brain with this conversation. It's funny, first of all, from just a fundamental life principle, success is on the other side of fear. And I know the listeners might be listening to that, but I'm afraid I'll turn them off. Matt, you know what? push past that fear, try it, test it, see what happens. The other thing when you're talking, it was almost like value, sell. And it made me think back to last year. I did an interview with Nick Nimmin, and we were talking about YouTube and how he creates a pattern in his videos, and down to like the description of he'll do like where it goes to a playlist or a video. But then he'll have this video that comes out that is to his home, you know, website, and it's the more of a sales pitch video. And so having this like just rhythm or rhyme to why you're doing it, and you use the word drip it kind of out amongst the other stuff you're doing, I think is a great place to start. Now, here's the thing. What I love to do, because I love to get people, you know, action items, get them started. And I know they'll like start running and then they'll trip over the hurdles in the way. So when you think about organizations that you've helped kind of adopt this and start to create content that sells, what are some hurdles that you've seen B2B marketers or organizations fall prey to that you'd be like, hey, watch out for this and that, or maybe it's more than this and that, maybe it's a couple of things. Where does your mind go with that?
Yeah, so that's a really good question, actually, because a lot of our clients come up with this when they are afraid, and you actually mentioned it before, of putting people off. So a great article that we actually talk about that does actually sell really well is why you shouldn't work with us, why we're not the right fit for you, which automatically people think, well, I'm going to put people off. But what it does is it just increases sales in those people that who are your ideal audience, because they're there to essentially understand that you're just not out there to work with everyone. They know that you're choosy and selective, and they understand that you're, you know, they're the right fit for you. So that's incredibly powerful and builds a lot of trust. But really, it's the first thing with our clients is getting over this kind of mental hurdle of, I don't want to put anyone off. So what they do is when they create these kind of articles, they're very wishy-washy with the points. So for example, reasons you shouldn't work with me, I don't know, you don't breathe air, you know, something like that. Like, yeah, be direct with this kind of article. So when we created this for us, we say, you know, if you want a kind of a yes man or yes woman to do exactly what you say, that's absolutely fine. That's not a problem, but we're just not the right fit for you. You might need to find someone else. And, you know, this is maybe what sort of person you would need or what sort of industry you should look at. You know, and really just actually highlighting and going deep into who it is that you want to attract and being very, very clear on that. And don't be afraid of putting people off, because I promise you, you will then attract more of the right people.
It's the lurkers. You've got to love the lurkers. They're always there. They're always listening. They're always watching. They just need a gentle nudge sometimes. Yeah. And that kind of content will essentially list all of the reasons that you wouldn't want to work with somebody. But throughout that content, you essentially just highlight the reason that you don't want a yes man or yes woman is because you need some guidance, you need a strategy. Luckily, we've got all of this results and it's fantastic, and rankings traffic, that happens because we tell you what needs to happen in order to make this a success. If you don't want that, by all means, don't work with us. So 90% of the people actually would look at that and think, ah, no, I understand now. Initially, this is what I thought, but now I understand what you're saying. And all of those points throughout that piece of content do just a really good job of explaining what you do and why you do it. It also gives you that velvet rope policy to say that this is the dress code when working with us. And I think there's nothing better than having a dress code in any organization to say, some people will work and some people won't work, and that's okay. We just choose to work with people who there's most chance that we're going to help them become successful. And in order to do that, you have to be able to say this, or you have to be able to do that. And it's just nice. People like consistency and formality sometimes. And they might not think that they do, but everybody needs a routine. And I think if you can create a little bit of a routine on attracting your clients and put some velvet ropes up and keep things in line, because you have the path to success. We all know how clients can be successful. It's just that sometimes they veer off track.
Yeah, I love this idea of having a piece of content of who we're not a good fit for, or, you know, why not to work with us. And it's funny though, because my brain goes to, if I'm a B2B marketer and I'm listening to that and it sounds great, but I don't have my ideal client profiles or my buyer personas in place, meaning I don't know who I want to work with and who I don't want to work with, that piece of content becomes very difficult. So again, another action item that you may take depending on where you're at with those items as you're listening to this podcast. All right, so I love the reaching the top of the mountain, standing on the Olympic stage in first place. In other words, I like to hit success. It's just a really nice place to be. So when you think about this topic today, what does creating content that sells success look like? How do we know that we've reached this kind of state of nirvana?
Yeah, so it comes from when you get to the point and you're speaking to a client. Think about 12 months ago. Think about some of the longer conversations you've had with clients. Think about how long it's taken for you to get clients over the finish line, multiple emails, maybe 2-hour phone calls or Zoom calls or face-to-face meetings even.
Mm-hmm. Or even getting a lot of our clients and us ourselves have been ghosted in the past, yeah. Experienced ghosting. We actually did
send a proposal.
Yeah, all sorts of things. Yeah, so they've really struggled with those kind of things.
So success to us looks like a call with a client who's already primed, already very aware of how you operate, how you work, how much you charge, so that by the time they speak to you, they're already set to click that buy button and get started. And we love it when we speak to people on calls and we start to talk about what it is they do and they already know everything and they're ready to sign up within 21 minutes, which is an example that we talk about all the time. The fact that we went from 2-hour Zoom calls to a 21 minute Zoom call where someone just said, I don't really know why we're speaking because I already know everything there is to know, but we just want to ask you about the invoice, you know, can you put it in this business, you know, we just set up a new business.
Yeah, usually the address or something like that.
Yeah, it's those finer details and you can't help but laugh, but it is true. That's what success looks like. It means that you can sell to people without having to sell anything at all.
Yeah, and it's getting over that hurdle as well, because I think we think that this is the norm, especially in B2B, and especially if it's, you know, a high investment, we think, okay, well, we have to get people on calls, we have to do a proposal, then we have to get them on another call, and this, you know, actually from the point where they contact us to the point of the sale can be months, or they might just ghost us and we never hear from them again. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's kind of accepted and it shouldn't be, because if you use content, you can actually really have really enjoyable sales calls that last, you know, 15 to 20 minutes, and then they just go ahead and sign up because they've already done that work without you there.
Mm-hmm. And it does come back to the current process. What are the current problems in your business? What are the current bottlenecks? Is it the sales call? Is it the fact that you're attracting the wrong clients? We recently did and we thought, you know, maybe it's just us. Maybe this is just relevant to us because this is how we've, you know, changed our business for the better. But we actually did a survey recently of over 500 people, and we found out that these people have the exact same issues that we had a few years ago. You know, we were finding that most people get ghosted by clients.
Yeah, I think it was like 84% of people that experience,
can you believe it?
Ghosting.
They never hear back after spending hours doing a proposal. Or another one was 7 out of 10 people have lost sleep due to difficult clients because they don't have a process in place, because they're not using content to protect themselves. And there's just so many. All of the data that we got was quite upsetting, to be honest. But I'll send you a report so you can see it. I'm sure it's going to be pretty helpful. But it just was, for us, a sign that we needed to be out here talking about it more. And it's what we enjoy to do.
They're not using content to protect themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you jotted that down as a note. And it's interesting because my brain went in a curious to me place where I hear people all the time saying, I hate the sales process. I don't like to sell. I wish I could just help people. And it's funny because I connected a couple dots as you were talking of like, well, the funny thing is if you actually taught or created your content to sell, you wouldn't have to sell. You could just be there to put them over the finish line. Give the additional value added pieces that are needed. And I love that so much. So if you hate the sales process, then make the sales process be in your content. So one of the ways we love to end the show is we love to get words of wisdom. I'm super excited because we get to get a double dose of some wisdom for the listeners. So what are some words of wisdom you'd want to share with the Marketing Smarts listeners? Hey, listen, it could be about life. It could be about content in general. It could be about creating content that sells. It's completely up to you. But what words of wisdom do you want to leave them with today?
Who's going first?
I'll go first.
Are you going to steal mine? We have the same brain.
You go first.
I'll steal yours then.
Okay.
Mine is probably people don't care what you say. I've stolen yours, haven't I?
That's okay.
People don't care what you say. They care what you publish. So essentially, what you can say anything to anyone on a Zoom call, on a phone call, in an email privately. But it's only trustworthy when it's public content out there that everyone can see. And that is what's going to help you, you know, get more sales. Sorry, I stole yours.
Don't
That's
worry
what I
about
like
it.
To do.
So my advice would be it's your responsibility. And what I mean by that is it's absolutely your responsibility if you have clients who are difficult, if you have clients that take up too much time, if you have clients that don't reply and ghost you. It is unfortunate, but it is your responsibility in order to create content to prevent that happening for again. It's fool me once, you know.
You know the phrase.
You know the phrase.
So, Marketing Smarts listeners, did you take lots of notes? I have to ask, what is your hashtag one thing? Your number one execution opportunity after this podcast. Make sure you reach out and let us know in my inbox or on Twitter using the hashtag MPB2B. Also, I have to ask, are you a free member of the Marketing Profs community yet? If not, head over to mprofs.com/MP today. You won't regret the additional B2B marketing education you'll be adding to your life. Hey, listeners, we'd like it if you could leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcast app. But we'd love it if you'd share this episode with a coworker or friend. Until we meet in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts podcast, where we talk with Austin Armstrong about leveraging YouTube Shorts for B2B marketing success, I hope you do just a couple of things. One, reach out and let us know what conversation you'd like to listen in on next. Two, focus on getting 1% better at your craft each and every day. And finally, remember to be a happy, helpful, humble B2B marketing human. And we'll see you in the next episode of the Marketing Smarts Podcast.